Well, Ulysses, it's another game and another win for the Tampa Bay Rays. Buckle up. Get used to saying that a lot this season.
Sure, I can get used to winning. It feels so, so good. They take the series against the best team in the National League as of May 3rd. Let's talk about it right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sembrano.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other traditional podcasting platforms. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays, and email us anytime, lockedonrays@gmail.com. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays do take the best of three series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, winning by a score of 8-1. I like that more than the 4-1 win on Tuesday, and we'll see if the Rays can complete the sweep on Thursday afternoon. But all around, good vibes, good win, good execution for the Tampa Bay Rays.
And it started like a pitcher's duel, which we talked about the previous episode. Mitch Keller was throwing the ball real well, man. And, you know, the first couple innings, you were thinking, okay, this is who's going to crack it open here. When McCutchen goes deep, which, by the way, yes, you probably shouldn't be throwing fastballs at McCutchen because he's killing them this year. It wasn't a bad pitch either. Like, yeah. I mean, it was like top of the zone outside. Like, yeah, it's McCutchen, but like, it wasn't a horrible pitch. It wasn't down Main Street.
Right.
Once he does that though, then you're thinking, oh man, they got a scratch and claw. And then 2 hours later, the score is 8-1. And that's because the Rays were able to capitalize on mistakes, Kevin.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up that introduction by Andrew McCutchen, Hall of very good. He's almost at 50 career WAR for himself. At 36 years old, he still has some bat speed and can still turn around on a fastball, even if it is up in the zone. And you know, it was a little bit nerve wracking from the perspective of, hey, is that you know, you're going to have to fight and claw to get back ahead in this game. But also, we had known, you know, previous old Shane McClanahan, when he was rookie young Shane McClanahan, that maybe a moment like that could unravel a situation. But No, he buckled in and didn't let that faze him or bother him in the least.
No. And he was able to, again, not be excellent Shane McClanahan, but pretty solid. I mean, less than 95 pitches. He had 9 strikeouts, one on the slider, 4 on the four seam, and then 4 on the changeup. That changeup, man, it's just so damn nasty. Yeah. It's so good to see, especially against right-handers. I know we keep saying that, but we keep saying it because it's true. And I think the growth there with Shane has been gradual, because this is the thing about being a fan of a team that has a lot of young players. You have to have patience. You can't just expect these guys to just be their finished product as soon as they get to the major leagues. Like, yes, we all thought, oh, McClanahan's going to be the next best thing, and he's going to be the new flavor of the week. Like, it's taken some time for him to find it, and he's still getting better. Even in the post-game conference, he's saying, you know, I still have a lot of things that I can improve in my game, which is exactly the type of mentality that you want these guys to have. But as a fan, you do have to have patience, and it's tough. And it's tough to have patience sometimes, but when you have patience, you might be a little bit rewarded.
At what point are you willing to deploy the A word to Shane McClanahan? We all know what that is. 3 letters, A-C-E.
I think I the only thing, his performance is of an ace. The only thing that for me is that you need more time. You need more time in the big leagues to be called. Like, Clayton Kershaw's an ace. Establish. You can't go wrong with the guy.
Clayton Kershaw's a Hall of Famer as well.
Exactly. True. So maybe, yeah, but that's what an ace to me means. It's if you look at a deck of cards, it's 4 out of 52, right? That's like what, 7%? Then you're talking about 30 teams and 5-man rotation. So you're talking that what, 7% is 11 pitchers. So 11 pitchers.
Yeah, it's basically 12 pitchers any given year.
So 11 pitchers. I think Shane right now is in the cusp of that 9-14, 8-14.
Yeah.
The one thing he just needs is one more season for me. For me personally, it can be an ace for, he can be an ace for a lot of other Rays fans, and a lot of other Rays fans can tell me I'm completely wrong, and that's fine. You know, hammer me in the comments. But I just need longevity, I think, is a very critical part of being an ace. You can't just be an ace if you just have one season.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Who's closer to being an ace, not to go too off topic, Alek Manoah or Shane McClanahan in your viewpoint?
McClanahan.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I guess just by your numbers there, you know, once Shane McClanahan gets to, you know, in between 455, 500 innings, and he keeps up this production or similar production, then we can levy ace status to his name.
So, yeah, I'm expecting his performance to keep being the type of things that we have gotten used to from Shane. So the performance is there already. I just need the seasoning, the point. In fact, like, hey, he debuted in 2020 in the playoffs. 2021, he didn't even make the opening day roster. So really, he has 2 full seasons after he finishes this one. So that's what I mean, people. I just can't call somebody an ace. You're talking Verlander, Scherzer, DeGrom, Kershaw, like I said, Cole. I need more time.
Imagine a bowl of ice cream. You've got the bowl of ice cream. You've got some chocolate syrup on there. That's Shane McClanahan. Now we just need to add a little sprinkles.
Yes.
Chocolate chips maybe and a cherry and we're good to go.
Exactly. And you know, those things are just going to come. The little chocolate chips come in May, and then the June will be the sprinkles, July, you know, all the little things like that. Yeah, exactly.
Very fair. Yeah, but can't complain at all about what Shane McClanahan is putting up there. We have more to discuss on this game, but first, Ulysses, we have to tell the audience about something very important.
Yes, and that is that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes it can benefit not only the people around us, but ourselves to get to know who we are. And the level of self-awareness, when it's increased, that's a good thing for everybody in your life. And that's what you can do with therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's really quite simple and it won't take less than a few minutes. So find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonMLB today to get 10% off your first month. 10% off your first month. You heard that correctly. So that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonMLB.
Speaking of pitching, in addition to Shane McClanahan going 6 innings strong, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, lowering his ERA or getting his ERA to 2.03, the Rays did not waste any time in utilizing Chase Anderson, giving him 3 innings of action. And he
so good.
Was splendid. 3 inning save, if you will. Or no, not a save. I don't know where I'm going with that. No, he did get a save, right?
Yeah, 3 inning. The old 3 inning
save. Yeah, the old 3 inning save. So add him to the board of guys who will get a save thus far this season. But it's interesting for, you know, Anderson's kind of been a journeyman and has been around the block and, you know, bounced around AAA majors. And, you know, I don't think we're necessarily going to get the Milwaukee Brewers version of of Anderson. You know, last couple of years, I don't know exactly what he's been dealing with, but he's been, you know, virtually unplayable at the majors. But I would think that coming into a Rays environment where there's a lot of confidence and moxie, and you can just kind of fit in as you need, and there's not a ton of pressure on you, and you know that, okay, you're playing in a dome that is very friendly to pitchers, and you've got a defense that's going to elevate your game and not detract your game. And, you know, maybe the pitching staff, the analytics team gives you a tip or two and you're good to go. And I think that's part of the reason why that pitchers and other players thrive in the Rays organization. Will he be on the Rays team in September and October? Probably wouldn't plan on it, but he's one of those guys where you just add him to the list, add him to the run of the Rays will find a suitable role for him for a little while. And then once he's used up, they'll throw him in the garbage, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I can tell him something. Don't throw that sinker, man. Don't throw it. 2022, that sinker, he threw it 11.4% of the time. And hitters were batting 500 off it. Okay. And the slugging was 1,000. So I know I'm no front office Rays guy, but that would be my first thing is like, hey, buddy, you know that sinker? Yeah, forget about that pitch. Don't throw that at all. In fact, I'm trying to find real quick if he threw it at all today. Did he throw that sinker? Count 4. I think he threw it 4 times. Okay. Okay. Out of 43.
So pitches. It's almost like the Michael Wacha cutter. Like, yes. Let's taper, get rid of that thing if at all possible.
Exactly. You don't need that in your life. It's a toxic pitch. It's like a toxic relationship. Just forget about it and throw it in the garbage can. Yeah. Like, it's not good for you. So that it's tremendous. The Rays need pitching help. It's so Rays what happened. You get good 6 innings today. You need somebody to cover innings. The guy that you just got less than 24 hours ago, hey, here, buddy, come throw your 40 pitches or so. Save us the bullpen. Like, that's such a cool thing. And then you're actually able to set up your bullpen not only for tomorrow, which, by the way, yes, you have Zach Eflin, but for the rest of the weekend, man. You give all of those guys a rest because you're going to really need all hands on deck against that Yankees weekend series, because I know it's early, but now there's less interdivisional games. Now there's not 18 or 19. Now there's like 13, 14 games that you're looking at. So you if you really want to stump on the Yankee throats, and with a 9-game lead right now, get them as far as possible. This is when you attack, when they don't have a Judge, when they don't have a Giancarlo Stanton, when half of their lineup averages a 63 WRC plus. This is when you pounce.
Right. No, that's a very, very astute point. And it also helps a guy like Chase Anderson when you have run support on your side, which the Rays have delivered plenty. So I think he should be able to settle in just fine. And I would imagine have a lot more success than he's had the last 3 or 4 seasons. Again, not expecting him to necessarily light the world on fire, but eat innings, handle games like this, and the Rays should be in good shape. And again, facing a Yankees team that this is the time to really pounce and throw them into oblivion as much as you can, because they do have 12 players on the injured list and some big names on the injured list as well. You know it's bad when Brian Cashman's already been called to a press conference and just say, hey, settle down, you know, don't freak out, you know. So things are rough in New York. I'm just looking at it right now. Aaron Judge has a hip issue. Giancarlo Stanton, not a surprise. He's always injured. Hamstring. Josh Donaldson, Carlos Rodon, Luis Severino, and a bevy of relievers there too. So again, you wish no ill will or injury on an athlete or another player, but it's the time to take advantage, quite frankly.
Yes, it is. Injuries fluctuate. You know, they I think at a time, there was a time last year where out of 78 starts that they had, 70 were made by 5 pitchers only. So they were really, really healthy last year. And so, you know, it fluctuates, but you were talking about run support. And I really want to get in on that because the way that the game started, like we said, it was a pitcher's duel, but then a bevy of errors. And why were there a bevy of errors from the Pittsburgh side, which apparently, you know, they've been playing solid defense. I mean, I wouldn't think a team that has the best record in the National League would be shoddy defensively, but they have been. But you can only show the other team. Let me rephrase that. You can only see if that other team is shoddy defensively if you put the ball in play.
Yes.
If you have contact. Contact is king. I do not subscribe, nor will I ever subscribe to the whole new age thinking like, oh, I'd rather have a strikeout than a guy that puts the ball in play because a double play might be in order. Well, no, because when you put the ball in play, you can show that even a Ke'Bryan Hayes, who will one day win a gold glove, who probably should have won a gold glove last year, well, they can even make mistakes.
Right.
Anybody can make mistakes. Brian Reynolds, Miguel Andujar didn't really hustle on that on that little shallow fly ball in right field. They had some trouble with the ball getting out of the glove to throw to throw home, and then he throws the first, and it wasn't even close. It hit, you know, the Rays bullpen. So those things, those errors do not happen unless you make contact. So good for you, Harold. Good for you, Siri. Good for you, Mejia. Good for you, Brandon Lau, for putting the ball in play and letting them, and Yandy, letting them make the mistakes.
Yeah. And also thank you to Josh Lowe and Wander Franco and Luke Rayleigh for delivering power, be it home runs or extra base power, whatever it may be. But I'm glad you brought up the point about putting the ball in play. That's very imperative when you're the Rays at the Trop facing a National League team that is not familiar with the Trop. I mean, we saw it in Tuesday's game with the lights and the outfield having some issues there on, you know, a fly ball that was sort of in no man's land, but I think probably, you know, Sawinski or whoever else was playing there could have made a play on the ball. But again, just the way the ball bounces high and awkwardly and the Trop lighting, it's a lot to deal with and navigate. We saw it with, you know, the ball bouncing high off Reynolds' glove, Harold Ramirez with that high chopper and hopper. I mean, it's weird. It's almost, I guess, like sometimes bouncing a tennis ball off concrete, the way it just goes and flies up in the air. And teams aren't prepared for it. Even, you know, teams that, you know, I mean, I guess maybe part of it was the Orioles didn't have good players at the time, but you would see intradivisional foes have the same issue as well. Unlike the Rays, where it certainly can't hurt that they had spring training at the Trop to make sure that all the young players were up to speed and were well aware of what issues could befall them.
You know, I love that you brought that up, that it's even more important for the Rays to be heavy on the contact because of where they play. If you were any other team, maybe, you know, this wouldn't be such a big thing, but the Trop does play against the opponent. It's a tricky place to play defensively unless you're really used to it. So take advantage of all of the little things that you can get an edge for, and playing at Tropicana Field is definitely one of them. So I 100% agree with you that's why it's more important for the Rays to do the contact. So very good. And you know, you're right. Contact is good. The choppers are fine and dandy, and the infield hits are really fun to see. But Josh Lowe just having a massive shot. Like, that was, and you know what I liked about that home run, Kevin? The fact that it came after two very bad looking strikeouts, just like awful strikeouts by Josh. And I think he'd be the first guy to say like, oh, you know, those were not good. But the maturity level where he is right now, we talk about mental health and we talk about, you know, mental fortitude. That just shows the maturity growth and where he's at mentally, that in the same game where he has had two very bad looking at bats with back-to-back Ks, on the third one, that's completely out of the out of mind, out of sight. And he's able to just focus on that moment and just unleash what is one of the biggest shots I've seen hit at Tropicana Field.
I'd have to go back and look at, but it's got to be the longest home run by a Rays player thus far this year, at least 450, 455 feet. I still, when we talk about best and biggest home runs at the Trop, I still think of, what was it, the Avi Garcia shot that hit one of the banners?
Yes.
That still sticks out in my mind. Yes. So there's others for sure, but that definitely was a solid display by Josh Lowe. And I'm glad you mentioned his adjustment and growth there, because last year you could have just sat him at that point after 0-2 with two strikeouts. Like, don't even put him up for the third at bat, just give him a rest, because it's otherwise going to be 0-3, 0-4 with four strikeouts. So that's good to see there. We have more to discuss, but first we have to tell you about Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about, and chances are you're one of them. Like that Stars app just to watch one show, or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Well, Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And for any you don't want to pay for anymore, just hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. All in all, Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time. So stop throwing your money away, especially in this economy. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. I'll say it one more time. rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. All right, Ulysses, for game three of this series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, we have Vince Velasquez going up against Zach Eflin. And I guess Velasquez, similar to other Pirates starters, having, I guess, quasi career year, just everybody, you know, running on point for the Pirates lately, at least up until facing the Rays.
Yeah. And hopefully not. The biggest game was the first one. You had your bullpen day. Now you had your top of the rotation, maybe an A word in Shane McClanahan, going second. You win that one. By the way, first starter in MLB to reach six victories.
He's getting 20. Just like I said, Wander Franco is going to go 20-20.
Oh, talking about Wander Franco just before, how cool was the little flip before throwing the first? Like, damn. That kid is cool.
Again, he should be the every baseball fan should know his name by now. And he's, I think, by the end of this year, just like we may be saying the A word to Shane McClanahan, we may be saying another, you know, three letter moniker to Wander Franco, you know, MVP candidate, or, you know, he's getting to that that status, that level of, okay, there's Juan Soto, there's Fernando Tatis Jr., there's Vladimir Guerrero, there's Ronald Acuna. I think you need to gather some room for Wander relatively soon.
I'm so happy that you are saying what my campaign motto for Wander being team MVP was. He's 22. All of those guys you mentioned were 22 when they had their big breakout year. Acuna, Guerrero, Tatis, all of them. Soto. So Wander's 22. He's showing up. So I just wanted to say that little flip. So cool. I know boomers might not like it. And hey, you know what? If you know me, if you're an everydayer and you're hitting that subscribe button and you're hitting that like button, which is very nice of you, beating the algorithm. It's very difficult to beat the algorithm and find other Rays fans. If you are an everydayer, you know that I'm usually kind of a boomer about certain things. I would never be a boomer about this. And if you are like, oh, why would he? Oh, I would chew him out for flipping the ball like that. And, you know, no, be better than that. That's fun. He's having fun. Yeah. It's a game. He's an adult playing a kid's game. Let them have fun. It's not rocket science.
No, I think that's huge. And it's a highlight. It's a GIF. It's something that you can push out and promote. And that's what baseball needs. They need more of that. When you have the NFL draft that was last weekend, got 40 million views, you got to try something different, unique, and fresh. And I feel like Wander Franco adds to that allure and should be somebody that the league promotes and emphasizes. Yeah. And I hope that they don't not do that because he doesn't wear a Dodgers uniform or a Red Sox uniform or a Mets uniform or a Yankees uniform. That should not matter with a player of his skill set, his caliber, and what he brings to the table. Just saying. I know it's preaching to the choir, but that should be MLB should be posting that right on the front of their website. They should be running that on MLB Network. Yes. ESPN should pick it up. I'll be actually really curious to see who else, you know, how far that spreads and goes around. Will Barstool pick it up, for example? Will Talking Yanks pick it up, for example? MLB, I don't know. I can't keep track of all the Jared Karabas. You know, well,
they did
retweet. Okay.
I think like three of the people that you've mentioned at the time of recording, I saw them do it. I think BR Walkoff or Bleacher Report, one of them also did it. Okay. So yeah, it caught on and it has to. Like, you just don't see that. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen, and there was actual flip, like he spun the baseball. It's very, very, very sure of himself. And that confidence coming from a 22-year-old, like that's, again, mental fortitude. Like, what is their mental state? My goodness, Wander is at an all-time high. And just to boot it, not 3 minutes later, because of pitch clock, dude is going yard, almost right tank, by the way. Almost to the tank, almost Lobaton
count too.
Style. Yeah, almost Lobaton style. So very, very cool. I just wanted to point that out. Wander is on his MVP trajectory, which is also very cool. But going back to Thursday, which I believe it's an early game. Is it not, Kevin? The Thursday game?
Yeah, it's a 1 p.m.er.
It's a 1 p.m.er for Thursday. Well, people, call off work and then go to the Trop if you can. If you can't, well, you know, just have your phone on. But it should be fun. Zach Eflin, 21 strikeouts, 3 walks. Kevin, over under 0.5 walks tomorrow.
Rephrase that question. Sorry, I was looking. I was kind of paying attention to you, and I was kind of not because the Wander. I was looking at the Wander Franco thing, and I hope he like continues to do this. I hope it becomes like in golf. People that golf know what I'm talking about. The club twirl. So when a guy, whether an amateur or pro, hits a really good shot on their finish, they twirl the club a couple times.
Right, like a little gimmick. Every time, it just becomes like the soda shuffle. But instead of having the soda shuffle, it's the Wander spin.
Yeah,
the Wander
flip. I want to see more of that. So please ask that question to me again.
Okay, the people in the comments, you can burn Kevin for not paying attention. But
I have ADD. What can I say? I've got it all.
But hey, you know what? Hit the like button before you burn Kevin. Okay, look. Zach Eflin, 21 strikeouts, 3 walks.
Okay.
Over under for tomorrow, Zach, 0.5 walks.
Do you know how many walks he had in his last outing?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
Not in front of me.
And the Pirates haven't done anything offensively. And I guess I'll say over.
Really? Over. Okay.
Yeah.
I can give you the walks from last time against the White Sox. It was 0.
Okay. How many innings did he pitch?
Actually, no, it was 2.
Okay.
So he's gone 1 walk against Detroit, 0 against Oakland, 0 against Chicago, 2 against Chicago.
Okay. Yeah, I think him just coming back from injury, just getting back into the fold a little bit. You do have a good Pirates lineup, even though they haven't showcased themselves in this Rays series. I think that, you know, they'll find a way to scrape across one, if you will.
But I want the sweep. I'm sorry.
I think it could and should happen, quite frankly.
Want the sweep.
Yeah. I will, again, I won't be at Thursday's game. I'll be at Friday's game.
Yes.
So I will be signing autographs for $1,000 a pop. Be prepared. Cash only.
People are going to hate you, bro.
I know. Yeah, that's actually probably too low. I should do 1500.
Oh yeah, you should do 200K. Yeah.
No, but have you been to a game so far this year?
I have. Yeah, I did.
Regular season game.
A Friday game, I believe. Yeah, okay. It was a Friday game.
It's been a long time since I was at the Trop. Any food or drink recommendations? Anything I should try? Okay.
Go to the shortstop.
Shortstop.
Okay. Which is in the center field area. It's basically by the Budweiser porch. It's the coolest Star Trek-y thing they have. It's basically this thing where you just put your credit card or your debit. I think it's your only credit card. Put your credit card or your raise, you know, card, whatever the, you know, bleep it is. And then it's like a turnstile. You go in and you can just grab whatever the bleep you want. Peanuts, beer, Coke, whatever. And then you walk out. If you purchased an adult beverage, somebody's going to see your ID. They see your ID. They're like, oh, wow, you are old. And then they give your ID back and you walk out like nothing ever happened. But because of the cameras, they kind of pinpoint what you took. Yeah. Is that not futuristic or what? Yeah.
I know it's Stu behind the cameras too. He's just peering.
Oh, that's exactly what he's doing.
But I assume it's not hot food, right? It's just
No. It's just
peanuts, crackers,
peanuts and cracker jacks and drinks. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check that out, and then so I'll give that future.
And then let me know if it was billed correctly.
Oh, I'll have a thought or two on that. All right, so I'll check that out. In addition to my, well, I'll probably get my beer there and do the usual, you know, pizza, or, you know, chicken tenders and fries, and go from there. I'll be surrounded by Yankees fans, so pray for me if you can.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But hopefully, I can rub it in their face.
That just gave me an ulcer. Winning
18-1.
Oh, please! Oh, dude, that would be so sweet. That would be. And you're not a clapper. You're not a clapper at the stadium, so
I'm not.
So if they go nuts, you can't even rub it on their face.
I know. Yeah, I just sit back, and so I'll be on high alert at that game.